Hello, my forever family. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who has struggled with pornography and depression and currently struggles with food addiction and codependency. My name is Matt, and I'm glad to have you on our inaugural episode of Celebrating Recovery with Matt Coker. This program is not affiliated officially with Celebrate Recovery, but it is a program that I have been a part of for, 14 years coming up on. And it has helped me focus my relationship with God. It's helped me overcome addictions in the past, and it's currently helping me overcome other bad habits, hurts, and hangups. And I wanted to give an opportunity to speak my mind a little bit about the process, to encourage others that are in recovery. And that's, you know, recovery from anything. You know, when we hear the word recovery, we think drugs and alcohol. But this is really for any kind of hurt, any kind of habit, any kind of hangup, anything that is separating you from the life that God has for you. Now, on this program, I recognize my higher power is Jesus Christ. This is going to be a faith-focused program. So if you're in recovery, if you're in a 12-step recovery program, and Jesus is not your higher power, I'm not going to say you're not going to get anything out of this, but I am going to say that most of what I'm going to be bringing in each of these episodes is going to be faith-focused. So with that in mind, I still encourage everybody to continue listening. And for this first episode, I wanted to share with you a message that I brought a few years ago. It's been said that everybody has two lives here on earth, and that the second one starts when we realize we only have one. And until we come to that full realization, we are careless or carefree. It's only when something major happens that we come to see that we've been living our lives all wrong, and that something major is usually very hard to live through. But if we go through the pain, we find ourselves coming out the other side of it better than we were before. A few years ago, there came a moment that was especially tough for a friend of mine. Though I don't know him very well, I know him to be an upstanding guy for the most part. One day when he came home from work, he discovered that his wife had moved out and taken the children with her. She moved across the country and already had a house to move into. This day had apparently been a long time coming. So I don't know the details. I don't know how much of the blame lies on either of them. But I do know that in the minutes it took him to walk through his front door and discover he was now alone, he crossed the threshold into his new life. You see, that's the hardest part of the process. Almost everyone who crosses that threshold does it through heartbreak. A broken marriage, the death of someone close, a realization that you've wasted your life, seeing yourself for what you've let yourself become. Now, some of these things happen to us, some happen because of us, but they all feel like they will destroy us. Mine came with an escort to a police station, and the realization that my selfish actions were about to put everything I loved at risk. And some of you might know that feeling, sitting in jail because you did something stupid and selfish, vowing that things are going to change. Every year on New Year's Day, a countless number of people start their resolutions to become better people, to get into shape, to read the Bible every day, to finally talk to that girl they have a crush on, to start living their lives right. And unfortunately, that is how they see it. It's supposed to be a total, immediate life change on January 1st. Instead of easing into things, slowly changing their bad habits, they go full force. They go to the gym every day for 2 hours, they read the Bible every morning, then do a devotional at lunch, and at night you get it. They overcompensate. They set themselves at a pace that they will never be able to keep. And that's why nearly half of New Year's resolutions are given up on within the first 2 weeks of January every year, and nearly all are given up by the end of February. The same thing applies to those moments in life when we find ourselves at rock bottom. We have the choice to start to change or to just sit there. But if we choose to change, we run the same risks if we try to force it too fast as we do not changing at all. If you've hit the point in your life when you know you need to change something about yourself and you desire to do something about it, remember that it is a process. It's not a light switch. It's going to take time to change your routines and your old way of thinking. I mean, the person that you are right now took a long time to become that person. There were a lot of steps, a lot of decisions, a lot of influences, both good and bad, that ultimately made you the person that you are today, and it's taken your entire life to get here. So why do you think that you could just wake up one morning and be a completely different person? It took me almost 4 solid years to remove one single bad habit of mine, with so many relapses and mistakes along the way. Why? Well, because the habit was only a symptom of a greater problem in my life. It took examination of every aspect of my life, my faith, my relationships, my anger, my mistakes, my willpower, my desires, my childhood, everything, before I finally understood myself and my journey well enough to make any real lasting changes to it. You can't just make a sweeping declaration like, I'm never going to drink again. You have to figure out why you drink in the first place. And that is a often long emotional journey of self-discovery and a narrow path to relying on God. And now, as I tackle a different bad habit, overeating, I find that I have to start all over, attacking it through a brand new journey of self-discovery. I've been earnestly trying to beat this thing for years. And up until a few months ago, the only thing I managed to accomplish was to not get any fatter. But now that I've been working on it from all angles, I'm starting to see results. I'm starting to notice how my thinking is changing. I'm starting to automatically make smarter food decisions even when I'm not thinking about it. They just took time to develop, time, patience, and perseverance. If you want lasting change, you have to fight for it. As time passes, your deliberate efforts to fight your bad habits will become new, better habits, and thus the norm in your life. Before you even realize it, you are more the person you want to be than ever, and your new life will have already begun. Isaiah 40:31 says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." When my son was 8 months old, he was just learning how to stand up by grabbing hold of things. Unfortunately, his balance was terrible. Even while holding on to things, he often tripped over himself and he fell down. And as a stay-at-home dad, it was my job to make sure this kid didn't kill himself between the hours of 8 and 5. And I remember those were some trying days. You see, once he was learning to stand up, that's all he wanted to do. And he needed to do so he could eventually learn to balance better and soon walk. And unfortunately, since he wasn't good at it, he often hurt himself. I did my best to keep this from happening, as we all do, but he fell so abruptly and without warning that unless I continually stood behind him, ready to catch him, there was no way for me to stop him from falling. So I let him fall, and I did my best to keep him away from the more dangerous areas. And there were 3 such areas in our living room that we had difficulty baby-proofing or blocking off, and he was drawn to them constantly. In those areas, though they were safe to stand in, if he fell, he was more likely to bump his head and hurt himself. So most of my days were keeping him away from those areas. But the problem was, once he got fixated on standing in a certain place, he refused to give up. I'd see him go stand in a danger zone, I'd run over and I'd pull him down. And he'd stand back up again, so I'd move him to the play area. Well, he'd crawl right back, so I'd drag him all the way across the room, and he'd beeline again right back to that dangerous area. He'd stand, I'd put him back down over and over and over again. He'd hurt himself if I didn't. But unfortunately, I can't keep protecting him forever. He's going to hurt himself and get hurt by others. The necessity of life is pain. He's still clumsy today. When he falls down and bumps his head and wails in pain, it's hard for me not to cry too. The same thing with my littlest boy. A friend of mine told me about a conversation he had with a new dad. And the dad was telling him that babies cry so much. And when they're newborns, you can't always figure out why they're crying. And many times, there might not even be a reason. My friend asked him, "What do you do when the baby's wailing and you can't figure out a reason why?" And the new dad said, "Man, usually I just cry too." And it's true. When my son Elijah was just a couple months old, there was a stretch of several days where he would cry uncontrollably, and nothing I did would fix it. I'd change his diaper, I'd feed him, burp him, hold him, rock him, give him a binky, give him toys, etc. Nothing would do the trick. And several of those days, by the end of the cycle of trying whatever I could think of, I'd just collapse onto the floor, holding him as tight as I could, and I would cry. Harder than any adult man has any business crying. So now when he's crying, and I know it's because he's in pain, it breaks my heart even more. In the Bible, we see many instances of God crying. Jesus wept. God cried over the plight of his people. And we are called children of God, and oh, how we must look like such children to him. There have been many times in my life where I kept returning to a place where I've been hurt before, be it a bad habit or a broken relationship, thinking that this time I'll be able to handle it, that surely my footing is strong enough, only to be reminded how weak and immature I really am over and over and over again. And while my son wasn't nearly old enough to know better, I am, and yet still, like a dog to his vomit, I return. And I hurt myself. And God cries. He wants me to live well, to not only enjoy the life he's blessed me with to the fullest, but to spread that godly joy to others. But when I decide to devote my time and effort to my habitual sins, I do neither, and I certainly don't grow any wiser. Regardless of our age, we're all still learning to walk. Specifically, to walk the walk of Christ, to walk in a way that matches our talk, to walk in righteousness. And it's not always easy. We'll never be great at it. We will fall over and over and over again, but it is a necessary part of the process. Fall down, but get back up and try to learn from it. And trust God when he's trying to keep you away from the dangerous areas of the world around you. We all had to learn to walk, and part of that process was falling. When we were little, we would stand up with all the confidence of every man or woman who has ever walked, take a step, and fall flat on our faces. It took time. It took effort. It took working through the pain, but eventually, we figured it out. We got there. We just had to take it one step at a time, one day at a time. If you've been in recovery for any length of time, you've heard that phrase, live one day at a time. This is a twofold message. The first is that when we are trying to change a bad habit or overcome an addiction, we have to focus on today and today only. If we look at it like, I can never touch a cigarette again for the rest of my life, well, that can seem like a wall far too tall to climb. But I can't touch a cigarette today. Well, that's a piece of cake. That's hopping over a brick. We can't place these large goals on our path because then we lose sight of the here and now. If we make a goal to be clean for 1 month and then we slip up on day 23, we are negating all of our victories up to then and judging ourselves a failure. But when your goal is simply 24 hours, we feel we've accomplished something every night as we put our heads on our pillows. And we have. The second message is that we cannot live in the past or worry about the future. When we finally come to admit that we have a problem with a hurt habit or hang-up, we start to see our pasts a lot more clearly. All the times we were wrong and all the times that we wronged others, we start uncovering memories that we had buried down deep and opening wounds we never let heal properly. There's a certain part of recovery that requires this look into our past, but we cannot live there. When we live in our past, we are continually condemning ourselves, reminding ourselves how lost we are, telling ourselves that we don't deserve freedom or a better life, or worse, that we are so bad, God has given up on us for sure. This is not true. It's never true. We also cannot live in the future, worrying about what's coming next. God has already promised to provide for us, told us not to worry. What good does worry do for you anyway? Matthew 6:34 says, "So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." That's right, y'all. Live one day at a time is a biblical principle. Words of Jesus. So don't make the mistake of believing that this message is just for those in recovery. These words are for everyone who ever struggles with living in the past, worrying about the future, or setting unrealistic goals, which are almost always doomed to fail. Just focus on today. Today's all you have. Learn from the past, prepare for the future, but live in the here and now. This isn't just a recovery thing. This is a life thing. In a few months, I look forward to going up at Celebrate Recovery and getting my 10-year chip. 10 years clean. But it took me 4 solid years of my life to get to that last day one. 4 years to work recovery before my life changed forever. I had small victories, and my outlook grew better every day, but nothing compares to the day when you can finally say no to your addiction without struggling with the decision. That's true freedom. I mean, true freedom is not really defined by what you're allowed to do. It's defined by what you're able to not do. It took me so long because I struggled with patience. I struggled to live one day at a time and not rush through the steps. But once I learned to slow down and work each step fully, that is when things started to fall into place. And now I'm learning to do it all over again to overcome my last remaining addiction. You want freedom? Work your recovery one day at a time. That is how you will find lasting change. That's how you will learn to stand. That is how you will finally live this one life you've got left as the man or woman God desires for you to be. This was the first episode of Celebrating Recovery. The plan moving forward is to be here every Thursday night on backrowradio.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right at the end of the Back Row Recovery Radio music block. You'll also be able to find the podcast version of this show on backrowradio.com, and it should be available soon on most of your typical podcast apps. My goal with this is to encourage you, no matter where you are in your walk with God. Recovery is more than just overcoming addiction. At its heart, recovery is regeneration in Christ. It's a process of finding real change in the Word of God. So you don't have to be struggling with drugs or alcohol. I mean, certainly if you are, this will be a help to you. But even if you aren't, I think you'll find encouragement here. So I hope you'll join me again next week. If you have a specific question that you'd like me to tackle, you can email me at matt@backrowradio.com. I'll see you next week. Thank you for letting me share.